Hello!
Hello!
If you'd like to listen to Running Commentary ad-free and get access to other exciting advantages...
And support us in our dotage.
Yes, subscribe to us on Acast Plus now.
Subscribe to the Plus and get the good stuff from us.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
That was brilliant.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Good morning, and good morning, Magpie.
Good morning, yes. We are in Wanstead Flats.
Yes, coming across. We say this every time, but I always forget it when I'm not here. We have to come here one Saturday and try the park run.
Yeah.
It's just over there.
Right.
But we're... it's lovely, isn't it? Although it's the first time this year...
Taking a gamble to a new location.
I've seen somewhere it's actually a little bit kind of golden, a little bit singy somewhere over here.
Yeah. Cheers, mate.
Thank you.
Morning.
So how are you doing? How's your back?
It's always still a little bit tender. I mean, I went for a little run yesterday and try to stretch it as much as I can. I can still feel it a little bit, but you know, just got to take it really easy on soft surfaces. And
yep.
It's always nice to get moving.
I was feeling a bit sorry for you the other day because of running on pavements and all the stuff you see.
Yeah.
I was going down the road the other day and it was just ridiculous. You know, it's like sometimes a little city street can be like an advent calendar. You know, there's builders outside this house and a massive Lego statue in the window of this house at this time of year.
Yeah.
Different plants and trees and bushes. Some of them smell nice, and then sometimes someone's cooking something, you smell that.
Nice,
You know, it's a, granted, it's a very specific charm.
Yeah, I did used to like an urban run, but I must say, as I get on in years, I like the soft surfaces.
Yeah.
How's your running been? You been okay? You said pre-record that you had some aches and pains.
Yeah, I got a bit of a smug ache because I've been going at it quite hard. It's just this last kind of 36 hours. So last week was good.
Yeah.
I went to Pollock Park Run.
Yes.
On Saturday.
Yeah.
That was
in Glasgow.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah.
South of town in the country park. And it's really lovely, actually. It's a proper... We say country park. It's a bit like coming here, you know what I mean? It's a really nice tarmac-y path underfoot, but it kind of weaves through the woods.
Yeah.
And little ponds in among the trees appear and stuff. The other thing is it does is it weaves.
Yeah.
Is it undulates.
Right.
So it's a bit hilly. But it's a little bit like that from a parkrun point of view. It's just... It's like a sort of toy... Somewhere to play, you know? So you think, oh, this is a bit of a...
So how many...
There's a hill here, there's a drop down there.
What sort of laps are we looking at?
Well, it starts... It's a funny thing, because it's definitely a regulars parkrun. Because, Stuart and family were there.
Yeah.
Again, we're catching up at the Scottish parkrun
in
town. Yeah. And they were all there, and that was great. And when we got there, we said, is this everyone? Because... You know, basically, we're outnumbered by volunteers.
Right.
And then there's a little shower. Classic Scottish shower. Just incredible amount of water fell out of the sky for about 45 seconds.
Right.
And then, but we took
just
shelter.
Just to refresh you.
Anyway, the reason...
Pre-race cleanse.
All the regulars were at the start, which in turn was kind of in the woods. So they all knew where it started.
Right.
Which is not right there where you park. You know?
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, so you go into the woods, but that's because they've got a circuit, which must be, something like 2.4K? So you start in the woods,
yeah,
run up a hill,
right,
and then
do the circuit.
Then you do the loop twice,
right? Okay, yeah.
Then you run back down a hill. So it's very nice. I mean, the run up the hill at the beginning isn't that much of an issue because it's busy in a narrow path anyway. So you're kind of finding a space, and then the circuit bobs up and down through the woods, but it has got two climbs in it.
Yeah,
one that you really notice, and the second one is really short, but you're still recovering from the first one.
Right.
Anyway.
So it's got a bit of a sting to it.
Yeah, when you get to it the second time, you know it, but of course, at the very end, and the woman did say this at the beginning, you just come running down the hill.
Yeah.
So it's a lovely way to finish.
Absolutely.
And the funny thing is also, it's a real shakedown. I was looking at the results, and this wasn't just me, it's true for everyone. You're in a big pack.
Yeah.
When you set off.
Right.
And when you finish, everyone gets so much space. Everyone's finishing 15, 20 seconds apart.
That's interesting.
So you kind of get the finish line to yourself when you get to it. And the barcode scanners are further down, so you just go kind of mooching off through the woods. Anyway, so
good run?
Yeah, it was a great run. It was one of those ones I realised early on, I thought this isn't going to be... I need to allow for time versus gradient.
Yeah.
You know? I said to you last week, let's go right here.
Cool.
I'll be disappointed if I run slower than 22. And on this one, I thought, well, that might happen today, you know?
Yeah.
And it did. It was 22:15. But I knew I'd run strong. And I was in the sort of top 10%. I was at 31 out of 320.
Nice.
And just looking at the other people, you could see that from the profile of the run, I was giving it some, you know?
Sounds good fun.
Great, it was really good.
Yeah. And nice scene, friendly.
Yeah, friendly. Do you know?
Friendly, not so friendly. Anyone from out of town, London, boo! Yeah.
Someone else said that, I'll get my head down. And it's, always the way.
Yeah.
Anyone from out of town? Oh, I'm in from Northumberland. Oh, hi, woo! Yeah. And we're from London. Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay, that wasn't me this time, though. I winced on someone else's behalf.
Yeah.
Having said that, I had a whole family of people come and say hello. Let's run together. But that's what I was going to say. There's more evidence that I was running quite hard was that it didn't seem very friendly just after the finish line because there was a lot of very fierce-looking, run-keen
men
in earlier middle age than me.
Running
just
punks.
Looking like they finished the run and now they wanted to, I don't know, kill a beast.
Are we there or there?
We need to go in
okay,
there.
Okay, cool. Let's have a little walk.
And just crossing the road from the wild bit of Wanstead into the park. And it's all happening here, actually. Traffic jam, road works. Let's cut through.
Oh, hey up. Bit of...
exciting, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Hey up. He was letting us go. Thank you.
So, there was no... I just basically didn't get any warmth.
Right.
From the from my cohort.
Just glares.
Oh, this isn't a very friendly
scene. Yeah, just stares.
But then actually,
acknowledgement.
It was like you could watch it like a graph. As people came in, you could just see people who had not run quite so hard. And the smile is creeping.
Maybe they're acknowledging the new arrival in the top 10%.
Yeah, maybe they just could smell London on me.
Yeah.
London.
Were you wearing your hipster beard for the occasion? Smoking a cheroot?
Yeah, see, I was eating a vegan fried chicken and drinking a barista coffee out of my own cup.
To provoke distrust.
So, funnily enough, that's the other thing I forgot to mention because I forgot. It was quite a rush. I really nearly missed my train to Scotland on Friday. And realised when I was unpacking in front of the Andy Murray game, didn't take running top or shorts.
Right.
Oh, specifically, I had taken running socks, pants and shoes.
Yeah, well, that's good.
And it was very warm, so I could have just gone bold. Just gone for it, you know?
Yeah.
But as it was, I nipped down to JD Sports at closing time on Friday. Picked up quite a nice outfit, thank goodness.
Oh, very nice.
After trying on an appalling outfit, looking in the mirror and thinking, this is horrific. I don't like to see this.
Yeah. What were the gigs like in Glasgow?
Well, they were absolutely lovely. The Glasgow Stand.
The Glasgow Stand is a great club.
It's always been one of the excellent clubs in Britain. And loads of people. It was full.
Oh, that's great.
Not like sold out, but like full of people on Friday.
Great to
hear. And even more people on Saturday.
Yeah.
Very different vibe, which is a good...
Saturday night there is great, isn't it? Yeah,
that's right. I had a... I had a heckler on Saturday night.
Right.
I had a good time. It was a...
Were you closing?
Yeah, and I had a busy day on Saturday, which, you know, so that's all on me. I went and did that park run, hung out, went to the Burrell Collection.
Right.
With my mum. The Burrell Collection is all the stuff that Paul Burrell's nicked off Lady Di.
Right, okay.
There's a bit of comedy there for you. So I was hanging around there in Pollock Park for like, you know, a few hours. And then
right.
went home, zonked out and had a shower, and then went and did a charity gig first.
Right.
And then went to the stand. So it was a nice time at the stand. And they were a lovely audience. They were there from the start, so by the end they were a bit sort of wild and drunk.
It can get a bit feisty there.
Yeah.
Like, if you're closing, it can get a bit tricksy.
Yeah, and it also feels like a long set. It isn't a long set,
yeah.
but there are a lot of short sets.
Yeah.
So the audience are kind of, look at these swans and cygnets. Wow. We're just coming down by a lake and there's a serious family of swans.
Very nice.
It's really good, proper teenagers by the lake. And then some people, I think, enjoying them and feeding them, but about to get eaten by them, so we should watch them.
Oh, way up. Yeah, there's a bit of a swan people off there, isn't there?
Yeah, and these cygnets, I mean, they're teenage swans. They're not little.
Right.
How many cygnets? One, two, five? Oh, yeah, I thought there were six, but there's some ducks there.
He's evidently a swan whisperer, this guy.
Yeah, this guy's got no fear of
swans. He knows what he's doing, yeah.
Not like me. I'm going to have to
use... No, we should keep our distance.
I'm going to use a zoom lens for this show.
Yeah.
That's the wide shot, so you can actually see how far from these swans are. There's a duck getting that shot. Mm. Don't take a picture of me. Excellent. They're gorgeous, aren't they?
Yeah, they're beautiful, yeah.
Is that something out of a ballet?
Yeah.
Ugly duckling thing doesn't really work, because cygnets are gorgeous.
I mean, like,
they're always fluffy, and you want to go, oh.
That guy is just super cool, isn't he?
Yeah.
Just sat right in front with a swan just eyeballing him.
We're still trying
to no fear at all.
When we ran out to Hayes, do you remember when we ran half a marathon out along the canal? We were nearly at the end, nearly at the station we were going to come back from.
Yeah.
And we found, I don't know, about a million swans. Me and you just going in between them going, sorry.
Altercations don't. With swans.
No.
Part two. So what was the...
Altercations with Swans was the original title of Kevin Costner's Dances with Wolves.
Yeah. That was the prequel, yeah.
That's my First Nations name, Altercations with Swans.
And how was the... So what angle was that? Who was comparing?
Okay,
because if you get a local compare at Glasgow Stand, it can get pretty tough by the time you get on.
Yeah, no, well, that's good. It was Stuart Murphy.
Right, okay.
Very good, really nice.
Yeah.
Something of the Eddie Izzard about Stuart.
Yeah, he's quite friendly, actually, isn't he? Yeah,
yeah, and very, and also, in light of what you were just saying, he's also English, which means that the
he doesn't whip up the kind of
been drawn.
Yeah.
And the audience were lovely, and even the heckling was. It was the guy was definitely keen. I was just a bit tired. I just found it a bit depressing.
Right.
Because a couple of times. He just said, like, almost in a kind of almost joyous way, as everything built and everyone cheered and clapped, he hit me with the W-bomb.
Right.
A bit like Ted Lasso.
Oh, dear.
And I was like, oh, okay, I just ignored that and cracked on. And then later on, he said, and it's just, I can't stress enough, it was like he was wired wrong, because he was definitely keen. You know, he wanted to be at the gig, he wanted to be involved. He was engaged and responsive.
Where was he in the room? Was he
over to my left?
Right.
And everyone else was having a lovely time, great scene.
Right.
And then he said.
So it kind of came from nowhere.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Oh yeah, it was.
Right.
It was counter to the energy in the room.
Yeah.
And then he said he was bored.
Right.
And then I didn't lose my temper or anything. I stayed very jolly and happy.
Yeah.
But I absolutely. Once I chose to respond to him,
yeah.
I said, well, why don't you go home then, sir?
Right.
Except I was slightly more expressive than that in my wording.
Yeah.
And it just...
Why don't you avail yourself of the local transport facilities?
You don't have to stay.
Yeah.
Oh, gentlemen, I feel it necessary to abuse.
Yes,
but it was it was very short, sharp, and it was from a performance point of view, it was the right thing to do. It went well, everyone liked it. The gig rolled on. It just left me feeling a bit sad.
Yeah.
And also, I took my wife about this, genuinely, you know, twisted relationship with the guy, because then he obviously really liked that. That's what he wanted.
He liked abuse.
Yeah, and then the last thing I did, he's like, yeah, this is great. He was like my biggest fan.
Right.
On my final bit.
Oh, God.
Now I'm in an abusive relationship with this guy.
Yeah, but that's when it tips over to, you end up sort of hating yourself.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
So it was...
Yeah.
I mean, I'm really focusing on the negative here, but it was so lovely to be back at Glasgow Stand. And specifically, it was like it used to be, except everyone was young and I was old, and I was enjoying that part of it as well.
Right, yeah.
You know, it felt hip.
Yeah.
And, but yeah, I just tired out by the end of Saturday, I suppose. And then, because I'd done that double, I hadn't had my dinner.
Right.
I was like the Sweeney.
Yeah.
We're the Sweeney. We haven't had our dinner.
I'm bored. Yeah, well, I'm starving.
That's it. That was me and him. Because everyone else just gently filed out. So I went back to the hotel, found a place that would do me a vegan pizza on an app.
Yeah.
And then while I waited for it to arrive, I drank in the hotel bar and watched a film on my phone, you know.
Right.
It was all completely appropriate to the situation. But you'll note my fast was abandoned. And right. I just thought, oh my God, this is what I always used to do.
Yeah.
And I didn't regret it because it was the right thing. But, oh God, thank goodness I don't do that anymore.
Yeah.
You know, because my pizza arrived at the hotel at about 1 a.m.
Yes.
That is
Perfect time to eat.
Yeah, and a lot of kind of salt to put in your mouth.
Yeah.
It took a long time, so I put away several pints of lager while I was waiting for it.
Yeah.
Honestly, the inside of my mouth at 8 o'clock the next morning. Oh, look at this one.
Well, do you want to go down there?
Yeah, I mean, I'm making this up, but we're going the right
kind of way.
Yeah, let's
go down there. Yeah.
Look at that. I better get a photo of this. We took the road less travelled.
The road less travelled.
It is funny, though, when you see yourself
salty,
from that distance,
salty
you know?
Pizza and lager.
Because back in the day, watching a film and drinking a load of booze and eating a salty takeaway...
means you've made it.
That's it. That was it.
Yeah. That's the dream.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was quite a bad dream.
Yeah. I did banana... Cabaret on Saturday, which was sort of like banana, sort of Balham festival.
How does it, that's a gig that used to be, oh, I'm attached to the tree.
Oh, oh dear.
Hello.
You're
comedian suspended from,
seems to be okay, attached to the forest itself, over.
Some kind of prop from the Blair Witch Project.
Reaching for the nearest pizza.
Salty mouth nightmare.
Salty mouth nightmare. What used to be a dream is now a living nightmare.
Mouth somewhat akin to the bottom of a budgie's cage that needs to
clean. Up in the morning.
So yeah, the banana. I mean, I remember doing a weekend upstairs and downstairs at Banana Cabaret.
Yeah.
About 20 years ago, and that really was the dream. What?
Those
incredible.
Were the. Days, my friends,
like the party made of adulation, entirely centred around our performances. It was incredible, but
amazing.
It seems like a dream now. Was it exactly like that?
It's exactly like that, except there's less people and the wages are less.
Yeah.
But you'd expect in the last 25 years or so for wages to go down in real terms.
Yeah, that's right. Actually, yes. Not just in relation to inflation.
No. In actual real terms. Yeah, actually less money.
And there's no gig upstairs or anything.
Oh, no. But, you know, so you're doing half the gigs for less than half the money.
Yeah.
So, but apart from that, the gig experience is still great there.
Yeah.
And then I went to... Some mates are having a party in Walthamstow.
Yeah.
So, way up. So that was just hilarious. I got there about 10:30.
Yep.
And everyone was pretty sozzled. but in quite a funny way.
Yep.
Yeah, it was a laugh.
Was it a special occasion or just a...
No. It was just well, there might have been... Yes, there was some... It was Janet's birthday. Janet's birthday... Walthamstow, nice bit of food, nice bit of scrunch. Yeah, it was lovely.
Excellent. Yeah, but I was in a hotel lobby on my own.
Yeah.
Getting unnecessarily drunk, eating a slightly overdone vegan pizza.
Where's my pizza?
Watching a film.
What film were you watching?
Avengers Assemble.
Right, okay.
You know, so envy me.
Yeah.
Janet Schmanet.
Yeah.
Good times. Janet Schmanet, David Mamet, that's my poem.
And then I did, on Friday, I did the Fishbourne Spinacre Tower double.
Oh, nice.
Which was actually quite
good
James
fun. Alderson.
Yeah, actually quite nice little gigs there on the...
I can't remember. Around Portland. Fishbourne is distinct from the others, but the Spinacre is lovely. And I'm there at the beginning of September, dear listener.
Yeah.
I'll see you in Portsmouth.
Fishbourne was... By the time I got there, it was a very hot evening on Friday.
Yeah.
So it was just a bunch of people with like red faces wearing shorts, yeah. Really quite drunk, but really good fun. Just one of those. It was just sort of kind of crazily inspiring because it was so delirious. You know?
They should do a weekend there, but if they'd done that this weekend with them being by the sea on Saturday, that would have been a brilliant nightmare come Saturday night.
Yeah.
Well, we are really wandering through the woods here today.
Yeah, we're having a little... We're having a little wander run.
Yeah, a bit of a dog run.
Which is nice.
Yeah. The idea is that we're running roughly the perimeter of this park, and you can't get out.
Yeah.
So as long as we follow it round...
We know where we're going.
We can't get horribly lost.
Before, yeah.
I suppose if we did get horribly lost, it would be like old times.
starting to warm up a bit. So you said you'd had a tricky... Well, you'd had a tumultuous last 36 hours, so did you go for a run yesterday?
No, what it was...
Sunday, or...?
...was that I felt very... between going to the appalling dressing room of JD Sports...
Yeah.
...and having a bit of a grubby Saturday night after the gig...
Yeah.
...I felt very unfit.
Right.
So I kind of reaffirmed my vows. Also watching everyone training for the Yorkshire Marathon... And knowing that my training is a bit kind of laissez-faire.
Yes.
You know,
a lot of people have sort of, in week two of their programmes, aren't they?
Yeah, that's right. Which is, that's never going
to
be me.
Which is great to see.
There is a sense of, it should be me.
Yeah.
And also at another level, at a spiritual level, I've been taking it for granted a little bit. Now I keep thinking, what's next? What am I going to do next?
Yeah.
And then I have to say to myself... Well, the Yorkshire Marathon, that's what you're doing next.
Yeah.
You know, because of the ultra thing.
You're not thinking too much about it.
And the sense of the why.
Yeah.
I'm like searching for my next spiritual quest.
Which you associate with...
the Yorkshire Marathon is right there going, I'm right here!
Yeah. Which you associate with longer distances, maybe.
Yes, that's right. Now.
Interesting.
And, we should talk about the Racing Stones in a bit. But anyway, I am a cider drinker. I'm not. I reaffirm my vow to my training, but of course I've been training quite hard anyway.
Yeah.
So I ran out yesterday. I thought I'll go to Primrose Hill and back.
Right.
And I thought, it's good if I do 10 miles. Really? Okay. Went to Primrose Hill. I thought, well, while you're here, you really should do some reps.
Yeah.
Is that really? Okay.
Right.
So I went up and down Primrose Hill 5 times.
Oh, wow.
Which is good.
Nice.
Always good. And, I didn't do 10 miles, so I did like 9 miles.
Right.
And then later on, did all my exercises. And then my yoga, me and Julia, whenever we're free, we do yoga with Adrienne in the early evening.
Yeah.
Which is fantastic. Yesterday, it was one of those ones. She's very good because it sort of had a name and a vibe that felt like we were really relaxing and chilling out.
Right.
And then we both get up this morning going, oh, wow. We were not chilling out.
Yoga.
We were twisting ourselves
with
up.
With a sting in its tail.
I mean, I really like it. If you want to copy me, we've just gone back to this year's 30 days of yoga, which for us will probably be about 6 weeks of
right.
yoga.
Right. Yeah.
Because we do it between... Last week we did it 4 times. It's probably the most we'd ever do.
Right.
And one week we only did it once, but it's just the standing...
Yeah.
Date if we're gonna, you know. And I just think Adrian's course is so good. None of them are more than half an hour long. It's always new and different. And you just really trust her, you know.
Perfect. Yeah.
I think it's probably more intermediate than beginners.
Yeah.
I only say that for pure beginners, because I'm pretty useless. And she'll really look after.
Yeah.
She always gives easier options and everything, you know. You're very safe with her. But honestly, it's fantastic. And the other thing I've brought back is and finally, for the first time since the Brecon Beacons, Ben Abrakeniog, I'm planking 5 minutes.
That's such a difference, I think. I think planking's really good for you, isn't it?
Yeah. But again, really there's something spiritual there. I was thinking about this hard yesterday. I did 5 minutes. I've been building towards it. I was easing up. 4:10, 4:20, 4:30, and then 5 minutes on Friday, and then repeated it yesterday. So that sort of like seals the deal.
Yeah.
But it's fundamental. On the one hand, it's not because it's easy. It's a stubbornness issue.
It's really hard. Yeah.
And two, I just think that's it. That's the marathon training.
Yeah, yeah.
Every time I plank 5 minutes, it's training for ignoring your own exhaustion. Not even exhaustion, but that feeling when you think, I'm going to stop doing this.
Yes.
Just ignoring it and carrying on.
Yeah, not identifying.
Yeah, not giving it the power. And I noticed that really specifically with the planking, and ignore the times, whatever amounts of time work for you, whatever exercise works for you, really. I mean, I talked to my daughter about using the Stairmaster at the gym. And the thing about the planking is that if you talk about it, it sounds like your finish line, the point where you'd stop, is just ticking up like a totalizer.
It's not
that way at all. It's more like I hit about a minute.
Yeah.
I think, well, this is hard.
Yeah.
And then I hit about 2.5 minutes, 3 minutes, and think, I'm done.
Yeah.
And that never changes.
Yeah, yeah. It's like...
And I just found in recent weeks that if I hang in there after three, it gets easier again.
It's coping with the waves, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right.
Yes.
It's 3 minutes.
The stomach tremors. Mate, I'm going to have to avail myself.
Talking of stomach tremors.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Yeah, I find I can get to about... Well, I find it pretty hard before I get to a minute.
Yeah.
But it's interesting what you say about that. Maybe I should start listening to music while I do it. Maybe it's one of those where music
this is obviously
part of the course.
A lot of this
that.
It's a prime example of stuff where I don't know how useful it is for anyone else because it's like my own personal madness. But
music.
That qualifier, recognise, the music is really... I couldn't possibly do it without the music.
Yeah.
It would seem about 10 times as long. And specifically, even for me, using music as a distraction during exercise, I have a very specific planking playlist.
Right.
They have to be songs with proper bits, you know, so you can really fight to listen.
Right.
Think to yourself,
for the next
I'm
bit.
Going to listen to the chorus.
Like what kind of tunes?
Well, I tell you, probably the best ever, the first one, I think the one I used yesterday, is Freedom 90 by George Michael.
Right.
Because, and I'll tell you for why, Paul. I'll tell you for why. And this is also true of Donna Summer's I Feel Love.
Yeah.
Maybe to a certain extent, Common People by Pulp. Obviously great songs and energetic, but also they're pop songs because they go first chorus,
right.
other
yeah.
bit, chorus. But they're slow, they take their time.
Yeah.
So, like, for example, George Michael, 5 minutes only gets you, doesn't get you to the last chorus.
Right.
You know, whereas I love planking to Left to My Own Devices by the Pet Shop Boys, but it's not long enough. You have to start at 15 seconds in.
Yeah.
But those songs, honestly, I climb them like a ladder. It's getting to the next bit, getting to the next bit. And that works really well with what we were just saying. Because you have that surprising feeling, and you know this from runs, where you suddenly think, just when you thought you had nothing left...
There's more.
Well, you just suddenly think, well, I can do it from here.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
So, for example, in the... this is obscure now, but in Between the Wheels by Rush, 5 minutes is right into the play out. You know, it's after the last chorus that's beginning to fade. But there's a moment just before it gets to the last chorus where I think, well, I made it this far, I can make it. And suddenly you're not hanging in there anymore, you're just carrying on. It's the same psychological sense as that tractor beam that pulls you in from mile 24 of a marathon. There's no way that the 24th mile of a marathon is as hard as the 22nd mile of a marathon.
Psychologically,
it just isn't. And that's nothing to do with, obviously, you can be in agony, you could be crawling and walking, but psychologically, once you know you're going to get there,
it's just not as hard. And I think it's harder if you plank to, like, conversations or something, because the words just seems to really last. So, I don't know, it just seems to sort of compound itself on your psyche and do your head in.
That's right.
Do you know what I mean?
Because you're pushing quite hard, aren't you?
Yeah, you're pushing hard. You're having to concentrate a bit on what people are saying. You might agree or disagree.
Yep.
You might trigger some things.
Yeah.
Music's probably a bit easier, isn't it?
I'll tell you what, though, Adrian helped me with the planking because she counsels a certain looseness.
Yeah.
You know, she often says, in a non-specific way, when you're doing some pose, find some movement.
Right.
You know? And I just, loosen up, make sure you're not clenching or gripping or holding anything. And in the plank, I mean, I used to start and I mean, for very good reasons, you kind of lock in, right?
Yeah.
And quite often now, once or twice, I'll just kind of stop and go, ooh, and like reposition, lift my hips up, put them back down again.
Right.
And just shake it off and have another go. And I never would have done that in the past because it's like, oh,
in the same way. Locked in,
if someone, you made me think of it, because if someone came in the room now, I'd look up and say, all right.
Yeah.
Whereas back in the day, I'd have gone, oh, no distractions.
Yeah. I'm planking.
I'm planking.
Dad's planking.
And it doesn't matter about planking. I think that you, whatever works for you, I'm not saying everyone
should plank. It's a very good...
But the psychological insights are quite universal, I think.
Yeah, it's a very good sort of basic strength thing, isn't it, a plank?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't do a side plank because my feet are too shonky.
Right.
So I think a healthier thing is like classic, you know, reps, you know, do a minute here, do a minute on your side, do another minute, you know. But it's much more old-fashioned, my hanging in there test.
Yeah.
And as a result, this yoga yesterday and that 5 minute plank, I woke up this morning, I found this morning in the kitchen that every job involved me doing a kind of half crouch.
Right.
You know, taking something out of the dishwasher and putting it into a drawer.
Right.
And I was like, oh my God. Oh my God.
I thought you were coming off some sort of monstrously long run then on Sunday.
No, I'm chopping up the runs.
Yeah.
I did my 9 yesterday was actually kind of 7 3/4, and then I got the train home and then I ran another mile in the
right.
bit. And this morning I ran another mile. That's because I recorded my Running Tracks Radio Hour twice.
Right.
But that was great because I love, again, finding exciting music to listen to and stuff. And I cycled to Stratford, which is nearly 2 miles from here, and then ran to you. So I'm topping up my miles with
movement going on,
connections and getting back to the old thing. You know, when I'm running 30 miles a week, I want 50% of that to be on Monday and Tuesday.
Yeah.
Again, whether that's healthy or not, I don't know. It works for me. And I thought I had 2 weeks, but my Queen Elizabeth Park 10K is next Wednesday now.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's popping up as we speak. And we've got a few people who did the Race to the Stones.
Yes.
This weekend.
Yeah, congratulations everyone.
Yes.
And what a relief from Claire.
Yeah,
her running.
Who did the whole
thing. Padre, they did it.
Did the whole thing in one go.
Yeah, straight through.
Enjoyed it.
Good times.
Yeah,
and
having fun with it.
And they said if they hated it, they were going to kill us because it was our idea. So that is a relief. But also, one of the funny things about it is Race of the Stones as an experience is so written on my memory. The fact that it rained at all, it really freaked me out. I was like, surely it doesn't rain on the Race to the Stones.
Good fun. Yeah, that must have helped.
Claire's got a great picture of her running, looking in the rain, looking very happy. It's a real ultra runner's moment, you know.
Yeah.
Pouring rain.
Yeah,
75K.
Great.
Yeah.
Give us a little boost.
So well done, and well done everyone else who did it. Also, well done to Jez, who did, was it his first ultra? I think his first, longest distance he'd done anyway. Peak District Ultra.
Right.
Went out. He said he channeled his Liam McIntyre. He only went and won it.
Wow.
He won it.
Wow.
I was trying to work out the maths on that, how fast it was.
Wow.
How it compared to your podiuming in those first or part 5Ks. I don't know. I can't work it out. But hey, you won it. It's huge. It was definitely fast.
Yeah. And I'm hoping to do a little record with Liam in the very near future.
Bonus episode.
Next week, little bonus, just to have a little chat about what he's doing with his old. As he ascends the top of British Masters running.
Yeah. And Wyatt, can you hear lights? I'm talking to the listener, I suppose. Light. I'm going to move my phone because I've got my phone in this left pocket here above my... Look at the lake there. I'm going to get a picture there. This left pocket over here, it's kind of slapping me on the breast.
Nice.
Every step, I've got this little slap. Little. So if you're wondering what that slap was, it's a phone peck
I got
interface.
One hand in my pocket.
And the other one slapping me on the teat. That's lovely, isn't it?
Yes.
We've been trying to get back to Wanstead for a couple of weeks now. I love the weather at the moment. It's hot. It's not ideal. It's not fast running weather.
No, but it's not.
And it's so summer, but it's kind of changeable, isn't it? It's
like Yeah. It's not ridiculous. It's not crazy hot. You can't run in it weather.
No, and also sometimes it clouds over. And sometimes it absolutely pours with rain, and then it passes, and it's just
it's
a thrill.
Yeah, my thrill.
It's July, isn't it?
Very much so.
Come quite quickly.
Yeah.
The whole sort of summer season. You're chipping away this summer?
There will be a trip to... actually, what do you think about this? Great North Run.
Yeah.
September 10th-ish.
Yeah.
Yorkshire Marathon, middle of October.
Yes.
A week in France.
Yeah.
Maybe 9 days in France.
Right.
Late August. What if I was to just not run?
What, when you're in France?
Yeah.
Cheers.
Thanks.
Well, I mean, what, just to have a little rest and recoup?
Yeah, and so as not to have to take my trainers.
Yeah.
You know, I'd probably do some lengths of the pool.
Yes. I think you'd probably find that quite restorative, to be honest.
I think I might.
Because you've done a lot of running for a long time.
Yeah, it doesn't quite fit with the taper, but on the other hand, how mechanical do these things need to be, you know?
Yeah.
I think that I would have to believe in it and not anti-taper when I come back.
Yes,
do extra running in the last time before the thing.
I'm reading this. Look at this. Oh, my goodness.
A lot of dogs.
Just a sea of small dogs.
They're quite sweet.
Yeah, lovely, yeah.
1, 2, 3,
lovely
four,
little
five,
doggies.
6, 7, 8, 9,
lovely
10.
Little doggies.
There's at least 10
Hello,
dogs.
Mate.
Hello.
That's the way to dog walk, isn't it? Get loads of small ones.
Yeah. Oh, we're recording a podcast. Or a dog cast in this case.
Elsie.
I genuinely thought for a second she was calling me.
Elsie.
Yes, that's interesting. Come here, please.
Elsie, come on, Rob. Come on, Paul.
Come on.
And then they became dogs.
None of those dogs were bothered by me. Very well trained.
Yeah, I'm reading this book by a guy who's... this French guy who Camille Heron's really into.
Oh, yeah.
About sort of chatting about ultras. And he chats about doing lots of really slow, easy runs, but 2 or 3 a day, sort of, and just sort of... His basic thing is, don't do too many long distances. It wears you out and sort out your running gait and all this kind of sort of slightly counterintuitive stuff, which fits people sort of getting old and constantly getting injured.
Yeah. Who are you talking about now?
Look, we've got...
These people are doing their dog walking, except it's kid walking.
Look, we've got loads of little kids.
That's more puppies.
Loads of
human puppies. This time, run at them.
What a wonderful...
See if you can bowl them down.
Yeah. Isabel. Jack. Thank you.
Where everybody knows your name.
Isabel.
It's only because
Jack. Elsie.
It was so trying so hard to get those kids out of my way. It's like, we can get out of their way. They were kind of popping out when they had them all on one side of the path. And one, Isabel and Jack, just diving down again. There were about 4 of those kids.
Yeah.
So we can run around them.
Yeah, so this guy, he's... the thing about it is, which makes it a little bit hard to stomach, is he was an international runner and he's like 25, 30s, then didn't run for like 15 years.
Yeah.
Started running. His big thing is like, coast for months, and then before the race, in the sort of month or so before the race, start running more.
Yeah.
His theory is like, things like tapers and stuff confuse the body. And he's to talk about ultras, like multi-day stage races.
Yeah.
So he's like... go for like four runs a day of like 3 miles, kind of to get your body to constantly restarting again, and you're training mode.
I completely see the sense. I think in terms of what training you need, you're getting into such an interesting zone that it really has to be bespoke. I mean, don't get me wrong, it can totally be scripted by a trainer or a book or something, but
you've got
to assess whether it suits you.
It's got to suit you.
And if it doesn't, for goodness sake, don't do it. Yeah. But there are some deeper truths that I think we're finding. It's like I was saying the other week, that thing about you get up to a certain distance, then training in numbers for that distance doesn't make sense. You need to be in a marathon, that totally makes sense.
Yeah.
You know, whatever it is, 10, 13, 16, 22, marathon.
Yeah.
But that's if you're running 60 miles.
Yeah.
You don't go 10, 13, 16, 40, 22, 50. 30,
no,
40.
No, no,
don't
no,
bother.
No,
either. Because what you're training for, really, and this ties in with what you're saying, is this a different one?
You're training the system.
You're training to run all day.
Yeah,
You're training your body to go, running's what we do. And not just run all day, but to run, to see running as completely neutral, like your
default setting.
Your default setting, your default state, exactly. And from that point of view, I can see the logic. I'm not sure I'd actually follow it in practice.
I can see the logic
of the non-taper. But conversely, do you remember way back at the beginning when we ran with those tribe guys?
Yeah.
And they'd run 1,000K across Europe.
Yes.
And we sit and...
Lazy.
Did you train? I said, no, not really. We just started.
Yeah.
Because you're going to get trained.
You're going to get used to it. Yeah, you sort of train yourself up. But it's getting used to... It's not just running all day. It's running, walking, eating, starting again. It's travelling all day,
isn't it? Constant motion.
Yes.
Constant forward motion. Yeah. And it connects to that thing we've talked about. It's not just slow running, fast running. Training is about, and this is where the physical and the psychological meet, it's about getting your body to expect it.
Yeah.
I remember a while ago talking about getting to that point in the taper when you want to run a fast race and you feel the taper, you should feel the power in your body. You should get up, you know, go out, whatever, last few days before your big event, run a fraction of the distance.
Less
than half of your normal run, and leave your body going, oh, wait a minute, I should be.
We can do more than this,
yeah.
I think we underestimate how hard it is to race a marathon. You know, when people are training to race a marathon, and that involves tempo runs and long runs and all sorts of things. It's really hard. Racing marathons.
Well, I think
I'm going to run 26 miles as fast as I can.
Yeah.
You know?
And I think you're right. I think that we are, you know, we're two very different people. We've done a lot of different running. But I think this is our, in terms of an overarching objectivity about running, this is our weakest area because it's our distance, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, it has been. I mean, yeah, this and, been for me for a while.
And like our friend Lizzie from Highbury Fields Park Run, Lizzie from ACAS, she's run a lot of marathons. She always seems to do well. She had a good time in New York, but I was talking to her after New York and she's like, I was so disappointed, didn't enjoy it.
Yeah.
Da, da, da. And she was talking to her, I don't know how formal her trainer is as a trainer, but anyway,
right.
Say her trainer. And they were saying, stop trying to do marathons, it's not your distance.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And she focused on 10K.
Yeah.
And got her 10K PB.
Yes. You know, some people are just more suited to... Some people are suited to way longer, some way shorter.
And by the way, Alex Kruger. Well done.
Yeah, brilliant, yeah.
And we have some other PBs. We'll put them together and do them for you next week. But, it's different distances, isn't it? And also, like you say, it changes over time.
Yeah.
One of the reasons I like 10Ks is because when I was at my fastest, I didn't have any relationship with them at all.
Yeah.
So they feel like a healthier... you know that there's not too much nostalgia and backward looking.
No. They're like a little... they're like a restaurant that you don't go to very often.
Yeah, that's right.
Little perky 10K.
I think it's important to remember that when you do... Often, we have to be careful. Sometimes we're getting old, right? And we go, no, I'm getting old, and that's bad.
Yeah.
Very specific, very real thing. Other times, familiarity breeds contempt.
Yeah.
If you do something that you like and that you've done in the past but haven't done that often and maybe haven't done for a while and then come back to it at our age, you think, well, this is excellent.
Yeah.
Now, one, I'm good at it. I know how to enjoy it. This could be going to a restaurant or doing a running event or playing the drums, which is... I've got the skills to do this, right? Two, I'm older, I'm relaxed. Three, I've missed this. Four, I'd forgotten I was good at it.
Yeah.
And suddenly, you don't feel cynical or old.
Yeah,
flat.
And also your self-worth isn't as much tied up with it. You can kind of... Yeah, you've got the distance to just enjoy it for what it is, as opposed to
win,
hang your identity onto it.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly. Yeah. So you've got both. You've got the... It's that distance, isn't it? You're, as a human, it matters to you less, and it makes you realise how relaxed you are. But as a machine, you've still got all the relevant skills.
Yeah, yeah.
These are good times. Let's follow, head towards that squawking beast.
Yes, yeah.
I'm sure it's not a... dinosaur in the woods. Once there's been good today, I mean, I say it's been good, I think we are going to pop out of the woods before too long. We just had that little experimental wander early on.
It is lovely. It's always nice to come here.
And we picked up our usual routes, and as you say, the weather's great. It's that thing, on a bigger scale, the same thing I had in Pollock Park, where you come around the corner and suddenly you're next to a lake.
Yeah.
It just, from a running point of view, that just never gets old, does it?
So that lovely park run down in South Manchester, isn't it, when you got the lake at the end there?
Yeah, excellent.
For the finish, yeah.
I haven't been there for a long time. Missed those weekends in Manchester. Yeah, to a certain extent.
Yeah, it doesn't sort of... What with the demise of the store, it's not really that viable anymore, is it, unfortunately?
No, that's right. And the running is great.
Yeah.
So many happy memories of running up to Salford along the canal, along the river. Like the other canal, the Oldham Canal. That's a great place to run. Running east of Manchester along the towpath, and then you get to a big canal bottom. That's a brilliant place. And like I say, South Manchester, the park run, which is around Platfields Park.
Yeah, and then Stretford Park Run, which is nice because that finishes on the track.
Excellent.
It's always good fun. Pretend like you're doing the Olympic marathon. Yeah, so we've got mates in France with a chalet, then we're off to a villa in Italy, and then we've got mates.
Ooh.
We've got a villa by...
Where in France?
By Lake Maggiore. Hey, mate. We're going to Morzine on the way over, so it's like...
Amazing, wasn't
he? It should be good. Yeah, I know, he looked great.
Guy going the other way, a little guy, looked incredibly fit.
He looked like he was involved in an ultra.
He looked like he was doing an ultra.
Yeah.
He had a cap on backwards.
Yeah.
Brilliant, big sort of wraparound shades.
Yeah.
Hydration vest.
Yeah, he was...
I think he's just popped out for 100k
this
morning.
Yeah, yeah.
See you.
You could kind of see mountains around him.
See you Thursday.
He's off for his little adventure.
You're going here. Going to Malt Loaf, lads.
Yeah.
I haven't eaten. I've gone over 30 miles.
I'm off to Scotland. So I'm hoping to get some nice running in on holiday. We're both at such different phases. I'm just trying to get used to regular running.
Yeah.
Not much impact on my body. Getting used to... I'm quite fascinated by this guy.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to do short runs, you know, every other day run for about an hour, but on the days off, just try and run like 2 miles or something, just to get used to that regularity a little bit.
What does that give you, mileage on the week?
Just really low impact.
Yeah.
It'll give me, just gives me about 30 miles.
Yeah, good.
But really, really, really slow.
Yeah.
Super slow.
Gentle.
Yeah, I don't know whether I'm going to be attempting to run fast at York.
No, no.
I'll see how I go, but it's like, I've still got...
Well, you're the one carrying the gazebo.
Yeah.
So that you can shelter all the...
At the halfway mark.
...commentary out on the way round.
Get the trumpet out. Get the stand out.
I beg your pardon.
Yeah.
You have to use a sponge.
That's one way of putting it.
I forgot that Tonkinson was banned. Tonkinson seems to be using his private parts as a trumpet over...
Local sponge use. Yeah. In 2017 has not been forgotten.
Just had a phone call from York Police. Seemed to have a member of the running commentary community.
Inappropriate trumpet use.
Pants down with a sponge, have
I?
Sponge in your trumpet end.
So I've still got...
Just coming round the bend.
I know it's absurd. It's completely absurd.
It's crazy. What?
But I've still got half an eye on the Marathon de Sable.
Well, you know...
Because...
Dreams are important.
Because the book. Because why not? Because some people do it.
Yeah. And also because from here
But the only
possible.
Thing stopping me is the... At the moment is the wedge.
Well,
but once you commit, you've got to go.
That's not the only thing that's stopping you.
Well, no,
obviously. The thing that's stopping you is you need to train in such a way that you don't get injured.
Yes, I know. And I need
to find that.
I need
quest.
To find
I mean,
that.
That's
I need,
a good
oh,
quest. Whoa, there's
and
a
I need to find
let's
that.
Cross after the broken foot.
Yeah.
We just watched a fence blow down. Right where we were about to run. You know, but I think that's from
and I
here.
Need to I need to find that.
That's a very realistic aim. It just to try and build up your miles.
Yeah.
And not and did not come up against but your legs miles
without,
or your
without,
back.
Without hurting myself, yeah. So it's gently, gently. So that's why the thing about... If I could get some miles in, I'd love to like try and run a fast marathon, but it's just like the damage it might do.
Well, I think...
Do you know what I mean?
Exactly, it's just absolutely. Like, I think it's the reverse of that. I'm just literally not saying to you what to do, but just thinking in your mind. I like the... Not the luxury, but the clear path of saying... Let's get to Yorkshire and run a marathon.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And,
yeah.
and it's yeah. very, very real possibility that from here, the way to do that is to let go of pace.
Yeah, yeah, totally.
Just to work on getting
yeah,
around.
Yeah, yeah,
you'll
I
find
so.
Out nearer the time what that pace
yeah,
is likely
yeah,
to be.
So, yeah.
Because, of course, the good way to run any marathon for any runner is to get around as fast as you can.
Yeah.
Whether
yeah.
that's 2.5 hours or 6.5
yes.
hours.
Yeah, yeah,
if
yeah.
you can do it
yeah.
sensibly, that's the way to do it.
Yeah.
Because you've got to get the task over and done with.
Yeah, yeah.
So you know by
I'm just trying to train my body to run without hurting. Yeah.
I think it's interesting.
It's an interesting little
I mean, you
conundrum.
Talk about us being in different places. I think that mine is... It's very psychological at the moment for me because I'm wrestling... I'm basically having a little bit of a problem
right.
with being quite fit and doing quite a lot of training because I'm kind of looking for motivation. It's like, how much more motivated are you going to be?
Yeah.
You're already here.
Yes.
You know? And
so what are you here for?
Exactly. And,
right.
so, and then I was thinking to myself, I've got no why, I've got no reason, I'm losing all my fitness. It's like, no, you're just doubting. Like
yeah.
a tennis player is winning, you know?
Yeah.
I watched Jabeur yesterday.
Yeah.
And she was winning against Kvitova in straight sets. Kvitova was having a terrible match. And then she was just about to close it out and win the match, which he did in the end.
Yeah.
She
doubts.
Suddenly tightened up and started making mistakes.
Yeah, the doubts come in. Tennis
there
was is
no
like that.
Pushback. She needed the pushback.
Yes, yeah, yeah. You need a bit of sort of jeopardy or struggle, don't you?
Yeah, but also you kind of don't. Like, keep thinking about the Race to the Stone's absolutely fascinating. It's been lovely looking back at that. It's such an experience. And I was looking back, some memories coming up online.
Yeah.
It was so emotional. Like, when it was time to do it, I was so ready to make my emotional pilgrimage.
Yeah.
That I was actually quite upset. You know, it's quite emotionally vulnerable. And thinking, oh... I've taken on too much, you know. I mean, I've not the run, but just
the whole thing,
the emotional thing, the
yeah.
stuff about my dad and everything,
yeah,
which I forget now because it went well. But you know, I was crying, I was out there crying within, you know,
yes,
when yeah. I hadn't run any further than this,
yeah,
and
yeah, it's
and,
big stuff going on.
And I didn't regret a moment of that, it was fantastic. But then I think, oh, you really need that when I think about doing this. OMM.
Yeah.
Why would I do that? I'm not particularly tempted. But then weirdly, the weird sort of wild card here is Brecon Beacons because, yeah, I did that for an important charity and for a friend and everything. But really, it was I had much more distance from it emotionally.
Yeah.
And it was an incredible challenge that I did just completely on my own. And that was also brilliant.
Yeah.
And really sticks in the memory. So I think this search for the why is slightly artificial in a way. The whys will present themselves.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you just got to keep moving forward. It's strange.
And you're constantly getting something out of the running itself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And also the forward motion is really important. Not to be too negative. Not to be too negative about the addiction, really. Like, I really missed... I took probably less than 2 weeks off the Running Tracks radio hour, running around, listening to music, putting together the new playlist and all that stuff.
Yeah.
I missed it.
Yeah.
I felt rocky and directionless in
yes.
that time.
Yeah.
So you think, well, now I'm trapped in this, I'm doing it all the time. That's good, you know, embrace
it's
it.
Okay. Yeah.
This is what we do. This is what we do.
This is what we do. This is what we do.
So, but I think... shouldn't think I will do the original mountain marathon because I think that once we find it, whatever speed, whatever fitness is, that I'll be hitting the Yorkshire Marathon as hard as I can.
Yeah.
And I'm really used to the idea now that even as someone who does 2 or 3 marathons and ultras a year now, psychologically it takes a long time to come back from an event.
It does, yeah.
Just to find whatever you want to find
yeah.
next.
And physically racing a marathon is... You know,
it knocks it out.
It takes a couple of weeks out of you, certainly.
And not
yeah.
when Christmas is just 9 short weeks after
yeah.
the event. just going to get a picture of us on this bit. Found out I've got the torch on my phone, so that's handy, isn't it? So we can really see where we're going. Look where we are now, this is fantastic.
Yeah, this is beautiful, isn't it?
Although I'm not wearing any sun cream, are you?
Nope.
That's a mistake.
No, but it's...
I didn't think it was going to be this nice.
So I'll be trying to do a little bit of running on holiday.
When are the two holidays exactly?
Well, no, it's both. It's all
one. Back to back.
It's back to back. It's 2 weeks.
I see.
We'll have to liaise about recordings and stuff. It's sort of late July, early August.
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah, should be good.
Now we'll find a way. Yeah. And another thing about the tennis that I really enjoyed the other day was someone quoted Martina Navratilova. And looking at these young, excellent tennis players coming through and older tennis players fighting on. You know, Tsitsipas was lucky. Andy Murray could well have won that game if they hadn't interrupted it.
Yeah, if they'd started the day's tennis earlier, that's a bit of a controversy, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right.
They've bumped it back for the TV scheduling.
Yeah, that's right.
Because he was on a roll that evening, wasn't he?
He was so many aces when he needed it and stuff. But it's the nature of tennis. It's so blooming, what's the word, vulnerable, ephemeral.
Yeah.
The mood. The
momentum.
The momentum. You know, if it hadn't been that, it'd been something else. And he's older for a tennis player. It's 10 years since he won.
Yeah.
But look at it in that night, he could have done it. But
what an incredible
looking
player.
At the youngsters, watching, what's his name, Eubanks.
Yeah.
Just, you see him getting better. You see him inhabiting his own skill by being young and winning.
Growing during the tournament.
Realising what's available to him. You know?
This is my time.
And Martina Navratilova said,
step aside.
It's made it quite leery, but that's right. But yeah, and I really relate to, not personally, I'm not saying I'm a Wimbledon winner, but I just think she tapped into something really wise when she said, when you're good, when you're doing really well, you win some matches that you shouldn't win because you get used to winning.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
You're expecting yourself.
It becomes a habit. It's the same with football teams.
Yeah,
yeah.
And that's fantastic. Yeah. I really see that.
Yeah.
And it's determinism, sorry.
Yeah.
Because the people playing against you feel that way as well.
They feel it, yeah. They feel it when they'll be 4-0 up in the last set and you win a couple of games and they start to crunch up a little bit.
Yeah. It's crazy. That's
the
just why I love
history. Yeah.
This is why tennis and planking and whatever else, lone physical activities are all interesting when it comes to running, because it's just you and the thing, and the relationship is so complicated.
Yeah.
It's great.
Yeah. Yeah, just changing. It changes constantly. Yeah.
Everything changes but you.
Yeah. So the dream of the disabler is still... It's fermenting. But at some point...
it's fermenting, you mean it's kind of just growing and changing. It's not going all rotten.
Well, at some point you do have to enter. But it's... I'm reading a lot about it and doing... I hope to get a chat with Susie Chan.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes,
oh,
Chan. She did Badwater, didn't she?
Badwater,
135 miles.
Yeah.
On the road...
Yeah.
In that heat.
Yeah, and then look at those mountains at the end. Saying, that's what we're doing. We've got a marathon that takes up those mountains.
We're doing it. Yeah.
We're doing it.
She's different gravy, isn't she?
Yeah.
I mean, she's incredible, isn't she?
But that's the thought.
People
isn't
like
it?
Her. Let's face it, there's quite a few people like her that tend to gravitate to like long road ultras and stuff.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I don't think I could run a long road ultra like that.
No, you're really going up against the model, aren't you?
Yeah.
It's like, you know, I think I'm quite unusual in how hard I lean on music as a distraction when I'm running. But we all lean on, I don't know, corners, trees.
Yeah.
Buildings, roundabouts.
Yeah.
Just things to markers along the way to make it, to take away from the relentlessness of the thing.
But with someone it's just like them Susie, and the road.
Yeah, and I'm sure Camille.
And the hot road.
Yeah, you're like, how hard can we make this? And that's what I'm going to lean into. And I do get that. I don't want it.
And the zone,
I'm not going to pursue that. But I was talking to my daughter about this yesterday. She was choosing between two self-governed projects.
Mm.
And one of them seemed more difficult than the other. And I said, think about doing the difficult one, because you might find that the difficulty is what helps you do it.
Yes.
And when I did that long training run...
The difficulty is the fun.
Yeah. When I did I ran a long way training for the Brecon Beacons, and I was worrying about not getting hills in London. And I got to Primrose Hill at the end of whatever it was, a 22 or something. And I thought, wow, I am tired. I was thinking about stopping, but I'm going to do these hill reps. And I saw very clearly that it was easier to run five hills
yeah.
than to just keep going that far because of this principle we're talking about. Because
yeah.
if I just kept on going, I mean, oh, step, I want to stop, step. What the five hills did was they chunked it down.
It chunks it down, yeah.
Gave me something to chew on.
Shot some goals. Yes, but
not quite the same as...
Susie, yes, we can, Chan, had wanted to do Badwater for years.
Yeah.
Job done. And there's a bit of footage of her on Sophie Rowe with Twitter line with, like, she had something like about 40, 50 miles to go.
Yeah.
With a big mountain in the distance.
Yeah.
Run 120 miles. And she's just looking at it with a support crew behind her, just going, there it is.
We're doing it.
We're doing it. It was lovely. I've got a lot of admiration for people like that, I must
say. But isn't it interesting she said
we're doing it? Just the courage of it.
This is what we do. That's the fundamentals. You're doing it. This is why it's good for you to still think about the marathon.
Yeah.
It's just got to be realistic.
Just an adventure.
You know? It's shaping the goal to fit your actual path.
Yeah.
Not just something over there that some future you might do. It's the proper path from here to
but
there.
But the training is the race, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right.
That's the thing about it. So
Nirvana is the journey.
So if I can get used to loads of little runs and, you know, running a little bit in the heat on holiday, not too far, but maybe a couple of times a day or whatever, you're just getting used. I've got a lot of time to do it. You just lie down in it.
Yeah. Just sleep.
Yeah. You're just training. You're just doing a little bits of training, getting used to this
experience.
But
these are things you need to remember. You know, Nirvana is the journey.
Yeah.
With the lights down, it's less dangerous.
Yeah. Yes.
Here we are now.
Yes, we can.
It's contagious.
Yeah. But there's the great story that Adharahand Finn, correct pronunciation?
Adharahand, close enough.
Adharahand. So about turning up to Marathon de Sable, and one woman, you know, and a lot of it's about the food. You turn up with your food, and it's all self-propelled and stuff. And you went to like two kilograms of food a day, or 2,000 calories of food a day, or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
And some woman just turned up with a bag of Werther's Originals. She didn't finish.
That's not a complicated story, but I feel like we can get something from it.
But it's like, I get the sort of idiotic optimism of that.
Yeah.
But it's not to be indulged, because basically you're just saying, I'm not going to do this.
Yeah,
do you know
that's
what I mean?
Right,
you're just sowing the seeds of obvious failure.
Yeah, you're including. It goes back to what we were saying about playing against an opponent you expect to beat you. You're surrendering. You're leaning into your own defeat.
Yeah. It's absolute surrender. Why not do your best within the limits that your body can do? Some people walk it. Some people compete. Some people do a combination of both, and just see why they can get in there. It's a long way.
And that's why it's a strong
away.
Decision when people really want something and they really train for it and then they cancel.
Oh yeah,
you've really
awful.
Got to respect that. It's so tough. But you know when a decision, one instinctively knows when something is right.
Yes. Yeah. It's like when some people go and get mass at church and some don't, and you think, why aren't you? And then you think, well, for them it's got so much meaning they don't want to degrade it by taking it if they don't feel they deserve it. Do you know what I mean? There's something about those people. It's like,
and some people don't have that relationship, so they'll go to a comedy night that they're clearly enjoying.
Yeah.
And verbally abuse the person who's providing that.
Just to feel
they push them to a point
just
of negativity.
Just to feel involved.
And only then will they show some kind of twisted love.
Yeah. Propel them into a lager pizza spiral. This is all very well. I'll be scoffing pizza at 1:30. A long way from home.
Good night.
With Paul Tolkienson and Rob Deering.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Thanks for listening. Remember, you can subscribe to us on Acast Plus now for ad-free listening and more.
Happy running. Love you.
Kiss, kiss.